Did you know that according to the Surgeon General, chronic loneliness can increase the risk of premature death rate to a comparable rate of that to smoking 15 cigarettes a day? Yeah, let that sink in. So, if you're a smoker, I'm sorry, but I think everybody knows smoking is bad. Loneliness is just as bad. The Surgeon General also says that loneliness is an epidemic in the United States of America. So we ask the question, how do we get to this point to be a country that struggles with loneliness? Well, something interesting happened this week, and I watched the Christian talking heads go off and on their little rants about some comments that were made by political figures. And I realized that the American culture and even the church culture celebrates individualism over collectivism. And what gets celebrated gets repeated. So think about these phrases. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. A self-made man. You do you. Follow your heart. And think about how many times you hear those phrases or have heard those phrases in your life. I've even noticed that most young people, and I coach a lot of young kids, I've noticed that most young kids that follow sports are actually more attracted to an individual on a team rather than the team itself. They don't follow teams anymore, they follow individuals, superstars. College basketball is a great example of individualism gone awry. And I'm a huge fan of college basketball. The value of the team has been lost by many due to lucrative NIL deals that make it easy for one player to do what's best for them rather than the team. Now I'm going to get a shameless plug in there. Wyatt told me I should turn my cup around. Maybe this is why I like Purdue basketball, because we still have three guys that are four-year players. Now, let me shine a light on an even bigger issue with isolation and individualism. We have been told and we have bought into the idea that isolation and individualism are seen as compatible with the Christian faith. People take the idea of a personal relationship with Jesus to mean that they don't need the community of faith around them. We have bought into the lie that we can do life on our own, and this is why many times we go through life feeling alone, unseen, and as if we're running on empty. This individualistic way of life is hard to reconcile with verses like Genesis 2 and 18, which God himself said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And then when we consider Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, when he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." Here's what I want you to write down this morning. This is the big idea. This is where we're going to springboard from here into this series. And I really need you to think deeply of this. Community was not created for you. You were created for community. Community was not created for you. You were created for community. What that means is the community does not exist to serve your needs. The community does not exist to prop you up. The community does not exist to make you look good. You exist to propel the community forward. You exist to prop the community up. You exist to make the community look good. Here's a brief history of the word community itself. If you're studying this in language, they're probably going to trace it back to Latin, which comes, the word is communitas or communis. But I want to go even further back than that, because Latin comes from somewhere. And I would argue that it probably has roots in Greek. And the Greek word for community is koinon. Now I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Because when we read this section of text, what we find is there are two words in just these few verses that stem from that Greek word koinon, community. Now, this is the, if you're not familiar with the Bible, that's okay. I'll give you some background. Acts chapter 2 in particular is the birth of the church. This is where we recognize the church coming into existence because God has given the gift of his Holy Spirit to, guess what, a community of people. Not one person, many were gathered together and God poured his Spirit out on a group. And this is what we find. They devoted themselves, and he's talking about believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. I would underline that word. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. I would underline that word. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So those two words I told you to underline, fellowship and common. These are the two words that stem from the Greek word koinon. Fellowship is koinonia. Actually, the word common is very close to the same form of the word. So I want to spend a little time exploring this idea of fellowship because it appears, community, it appears twice in these few verses. And so I gave you the big idea. Community was not created for you. You were created for the community. But here's kind of a sub-point that I think is important. The key to Christian community is fellowship. Fellowship is the key to Christian community. This word, koinonia itself, appears 19 times in the New Testament. And 12 out of those 19 times, it is translated into English as fellowship. But here's some other translations that pop up very sparingly. By far, the majority of the time, it's fellowship. Sometimes we might see communion. Other times, it's translated as sharing or participation or contribution. Now, when we think about the word fellowship, this is probably the most misunderstood word within the church. Misunderstood and way overused within the church. I believe the original meaning, the original intent of fellowship has been lost within the modern church. One of my first couple of years in seminary, I was asked to give a short talk on fellowship in a spiritual disciplines class. And part of the talk was we had to allow time for people to ask questions at the end of our talk. And so I gave a little brief kind of snippet on biblical fellowship. And there was a fellow who raised his hand during the question time. He said, yeah, I do have a question. If I go to a Cincinnati Reds baseball game with somebody from the church, is that fellowship? And I kind of surveyed the room and everybody's like, and I said, no. If you go to a Cincinnati Reds baseball game with somebody from the church, that is not fellowship. That may be a piece of fellowship, but that is not the full idea of fellowship within the Bible. Furthermore, I want you to understand that fellowship is not what happens in this room behind me just a few times a year. When we stop just a few times a year to share a meal together, we call this the fellowship hall. That is not real fellowship. It may be a piece of fellowship, but it is not the full experience of fellowship. So what is fellowship then? When we read these verses in Acts chapter 2, I think they paint a pretty clear picture of what fellowship, what Christian community should look like. Now, I recognize that the context of these verses is probably a little bit different than our context today, but the principles remain the same. And what we find here when we read these verses is that the apostles' teaching is part of fellowship as well as breaking bread and prayer. So we get these key elements. We get apostles' teaching, breaking bread, and prayer thrown in there to give us a better understanding of what real Christian community fellowship is all about. And this is what it is. It is sharing and participating in life together, pursuing Christ. That's what we see when we think of fellowship from a biblical perspective. It is sharing and participating in life together, pursuing Christ. And here's what we have to understand. The early church was highly relational and community focused. Now, when I'm saying community focused, and some of you are going to give me some backlash on this, but I will stand behind it. When I say community focused, I'm not talking about the community that surrounded them. Community focus was the church community. That was the focus of the early church. Highly relational and community focused, church fellowship focused. And it was something that was experienced daily, not one day a week. Did you notice that when we read through there? It said day by day, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So one thing we miss today in the church is the balance between the large gathering and the small gathering. And then this is a cultural issue again. This is where I believe the church really has to push back on the culture, because culture tells us bigger is better. And so in churches, what we tend to do is focus on getting bigger. And getting bigger is okay. The problem is when we focus so much on getting bigger, we forget about also being small. And one thing this early church did so well is they were able to balance the need between big and small. So look what they did here. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. All right, now, temple courts, large gathering, lots of people. Big setting. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Small gathering. Do you see the balance? They met in the temple in large gatherings, and then they met in their homes. Small gathering. There's a balance. And it was in this setting, this small gathering, this home, very intimate, mostly informal, that real fellowship took place. That's the place where they shared life together. That's the place where they discovered the real needs that each other had. That's the place where they prayed over and met together. The smaller setting is where we can really do life with, grow with, encourage, and challenge one another. That does not happen in the large setting. So how should we take this knowledge of the practice of the early church? How should we allow it to shape our experience within the church today? I think we need to balance bigger with intentionally creating and being smart of smaller communities, where authentic relationships with God and one another can be fostered. There is no way we are to the size now at Hannah's Creek that we can have authentic relationships with one another on Sunday morning. There's too many of you for me to know. There's not a single person in here I would challenge that could name every single name that's in this building. And if you can't know a person's name, how can you really know that person? Years ago, I heard another pastor talk about the impact of small groups within the church that he served. He was in his office one morning. It was pretty early in the morning. And he got a phone call about a family in his congregation that experienced an unexpected death. And so the pastor dropped what he was doing and made his way to that family's home. But when he arrived at the house, he had already found several members of the church congregation that were present with the family. And as he began to go through his list of things to do, to make sure all of the things, the checklist that needed to be checked, call the funeral home, call other family members, you know, let other people in the church know. As he began to go down that list, he realized that all of them had already been accomplished by the members of the congregation that were there at the house. And so when he showed up, He simply prayed with the family and sat with the family. Everything else was completed. A few days later, he started to ask, like, who were all of these people that were at this house? I mean, he knew they were from the church, but how were they so connected? And he found out that they were all members of the same small group. That family that was in need reached out to the people they were closest with, even before their own pastor. And some of you say, well, that's kind of backwards. No, that's exactly how it's supposed to be. That is exactly how it's supposed to be. So my hope is that we don't shortchange ourselves and others by buying into the idea that a large gathering on Sunday morning is the pinnacle of what it means to follow Jesus. I don't want you to misunderstand the Christian faith. This today, coming here and just showing up is not the pinnacle of what it means to follow Jesus. We need to strive to take a balanced approach that the early church took and apply it to our current context. Fellowship is the key to authentic Christian community, and you were created for community. You have something valuable for the community. So I want to give you some simple action steps to take. And this is where the rubber meets the road. All of this is good information, but how do I apply it to my life? And here's how you do it. Well, in just a couple months, we're going to kick off small groups. I told you that last week. Join a group. Join a small group. But it doesn't have to be very complicated, honestly. You don't even have to wait for a group to start. You can simply ask another family from the church to come over for dinner and get to know one another. It's that simple. I mean, this is what these folks did. They met together in their homes and ate. Now, some would argue, well, they're taking communion. That's really not what's happening here in Acts chapter 2:42. They're eating a meal. They're sharing a meal together. It was the most intimate thing that you could do in the ancient world. And today, sharing a meal together still does something. It still creates a bond that's hard to replicate. So just ask another family from the church to come over for dinner and get to know one another. Here's another thing you can do. Repurpose a group that you're already a part of. You know, many of us already have our groups that we run with. We have our little, you know, group of friends or here and there or whatever it looks like. Take that group and repurpose it. What does it mean? What does that mean? Well, what would it look like for you to approach that group with a spiritual purpose? What would it look like for you to take a spiritual idea into that group of people? So there's three action steps that I think are pretty simple. Join a group when they start, invite a family over for dinner, go out to lunch together, repurpose a group that you're already part of. But here's the real thing. Why does this really matter? Because we don't do things unless we understand why it's important. Why does all of this matter? Because isolation and overemphasis on individualism presents us with not only spiritual risk, but emotional and physical risk as well. God wants us to move closer to wholeness. Like, understand that. God isn't just concerned about our spiritual life. He's concerned about us physically and emotionally. And he wants us to move closer to wholeness. And fellowship plays a key role in a person being whole. You cannot be whole alone. When we isolate, when we have the idea that we can do life on our own, when we can live this faith in isolation, when we can have a personal relationship, we miss out on the opportunity to grow and to help others grow when we neglect Christian community. I want to read you a quote by C.S. Lewis. God can show himself as he really is only to real men. And by men, he means people. And all that means not simply to men who are individually good, but to men who are united together in a body, loving one another, helping one another, showing him to one another. For that is what God meant humanity to be like. like players in one band or organs in one body. Consequently, the one really adequate instrument for learning about God is the whole Christian community waiting for Him together. So I want to leave you with this question. How might your life be different if you didn't try to do it on your own? Father, I pray that you take these words and bless them, because I am nothing without you. My words have no value outside of you. Father, I pray that people would see your heart for community and how the current cultural context that we sit in just continues to promote isolationism. Help us to see the value in real relationships. God, help us to continue to understand that you yourself exist in perfect community within the Trinity. And being created in your image means that we were created for that same community. And for those that are lonely, that feel like they aren't seen, put people in their life that can encourage them, push them along through the power of your Son, Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.